Good morning, Cooks.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you. On behalf of the pastor and the session, the staff, welcome to Cooks Church. We appreciate you being here. Once again this morning, we send our sincere thanks to the Reverend Dr. Tom Labonte for bringing us the Word of God while our pastor is away. For those of you who need a little background on what is basically a family member, Tom Labonte, he did his pastoral internship here at Cooks and is now an honorably retired PCUSA pastor. Most recently, he served as part-time assistant pastor for congregational care. Congressional, I gave you a raise.
I don't know if that's an honor or not.
Well, I'm sorry, but the pay grade's much better, I'm pretty sure. So we've elevated Tom to Congress, just like that. he was at Bethel Presbyterian Church for 2 years and is a part-time transitional pastor at Kings Mountain from 622 to 523. We are also honored to have his wife, Strand, with us this morning. They've been married for 51 years and have two daughters, so happy Father's Day to you, sir. I have some announcements this morning. First, our Cooks Cares cooking classes will not operate today as the head chef and pastor is on vacation, but he will be back and will conduct classes next Sunday afternoon on the 23rd. So that will be at 3:00 in the fellowship kitchen. As you all know, these classes are a church-wide endeavor to reach out to the community, and if you have a subject that you'd be willing to, that you know a lot about, that you want to share with the congregation and possibly, and this will be elevated at some time in the fall to include certainly anybody from the community who would like to learn about something. So if you have a talent and you want to share it, just get in touch with the office. The last of the prayer team meetings, I think, was last week. And if you have any information, need any information, just get in touch with Kay or James Harper. The adult Bible study will not meet this evening because of Father's Day, but we'll resume next Sunday, the 23rd, here in the sanctuary. Just a note, if work has started in earnest on the fellowship hall, it may not be evident. Probably what you're seeing is the fence has been moved out of the way or back closer to the building. You'll notice that Friday we had a delivery of brick for the bolsters and so forth, but there is work going on, so we have now started in earnest. That is good news. Want to thank Matt Bullock. He's not here today, but Matt spent several days this week power washing and cleaning the front of the church. Looks great. So when you see Matt, tell him thank you. We appreciate it. The summer cereal box collection is all about, and our Vacation Bible School is in the bulletin this morning. Read about that information for both of those items. It is my duty this morning to notify you that we will be having, according to the Book of Church Order, an important congressional... I'm sorry, I must have been watching the news before I left. An important congregational meeting We may do better, though, next Sunday than Congress is doing. That's all I'm going to say. So
we
may can get by with that. So anyway, we will be having a congregational meeting next Sunday immediately following the worship service. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss and agree upon the sale of an additional portion of our church land, approximately 2 acres attached to the present property for sale. We value your input and encourage everyone to attend this important meeting. Your participation is crucial in making this decision for the future of Cooks and the community surrounding, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday immediately following the service. The beautiful flowers today are in loving memory of Wilton and Hazel Dunn in remembrance of their June birthdays. So now my friend Fred Cox will like to come up and offer some information on the Children's Hope Alliance. Fred?
Good morning. Last year, during the holiday season, we had 6 special offerings going on at the same time as our regular tithes and offerings. We had Loaves and Fishes, Children's Hope Alliance, Operation Christmas Child, Angel Tree, Operation North State, and the PCUSA Christmas Joy Gift Offering going on all at the same time. And more than a handful of you told us that was a lot for just a couple months time period. So this year we've moved Nourish Up, the organization formerly known as Loaves and Fishes, away from the holiday season. We moved that away, and we are moving Children's Hope Alliance to mid-year. And here we are at mid-year, and that's why I'm up here. We will collect a special offering for this great ministry starting today through the end of the month of June. In April of 2014, Barham Springs Home for Children and Grandfather Home for Children came together to have a great impact on helping children and their families all across North Carolina. These sister organizations were both founded by the Presbyterian Synod back in late 1800s. The name chosen for the newly formed merger organization was Children's Hope Alliance, an alliance forged by a deeply rooted mission to provide hope and healing for hurting children and families. CHA needs our help because there are more than 2.3 million children in North Carolina, and over 465,000 of them have mental health and/or behavioral disorders. That's about 20%. That's or 1 in 5. So that's a staggering percentage. And most of them will never receive the services they need. So also, nearly 1 in 4 North Carolina high school students seriously contemplated suicide in 2021. I know that was right after the pandemic. A lot of people were depressed, but still, that's a fairly high number. 43% of North Carolina high school students feel sad and hopeless compared to 28% 10 years ago. And North Carolina ranks 42nd in the country for youth mental health care. I can't imagine how tough it would be growing up in today's world, even surrounded by folks who love you. You know, and then if you add a dysfunctional environment and/or all the creepy things that go on today, these stats that I just gave you are no big surprise. So the old ways of helping kids don't work today. There is a growing debate about what's best for America's children. And CHA continues to meet children who have moved 10 to 12 times while in group homes and foster care. Every move they make causes additional trauma for that young person. They never develop long-lasting relationships. they feel unloved, and then they act out and then get moved to a new place. And that's the way this pattern works, often ending up in juvenile justice system. And it's time for a new approach to help at-risk youth. So let me tell you the good news. They figured out that little people come with big people. Whether biological or foster families may look different for each one of us, Children's Hope Alliance believes that family connections are essential to raising healthy young people. That's why their focus is to help these youth within their families. When I read that last year, that spoke a lot to me. So they help them within their own family unit rather than in group homes. They have a long history of growing, adapting, and changing to meet the needs of today's youth. But the world is changing, and children's needs are changing along with it. So think about the work that goes on behind the scenes through this organization to help these kids. We praise God for CHA and the fact that they can find the right people to give our youth exactly what they need and how to handle all these different situations. God bless these folks, and we stand with them through prayer, and we believe that we should help them and help Children's Hope Alliance as much as we can so that more young people will at least have a chance to make it. Their goal is to help 2,500 youth this year, and I want to thank you in advance, Church, for helping out with Children's Hope Alliance. Yes.
If you ever get talked to you and get a visit, do it. Dale and I have done. We met with the leaders up there, the teachers, and the kids.
Oh, wow.
It's a remarkable place and a good place.
Yeah.
And how the kids react.
I think what you have to do now is schedule a visit, and they'll show you around. Go on their website, Children's Hope Alliance, all one word, .com. Or .org, I think, .org, and you can schedule a tour. And that's, but years ago it was Byram Springs, and you could just show up, right? Oh, okay. All right. You wasn't going to tell that part, were you? What a humble servant. All right. Y'all have a good day.
We love you, O Lord, Father and Creator. I call upon the Lord, who is above all others to be praised.
My God, in you do I take refuge, for you are my strong rock.
Blessed in the Lord, for he lives as the God of my salvation.
This I call you, Lord, and sing praises to you.
Praise God, the source of our safety and life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Silas. It's wonderful to see young people involved in the life of the church and to see so many familiar faces. But from about 20 years ago, I also remember the faces who used to fill these other seats. And it's a blessing to see so many of you here this morning, and a blessing to celebrate our grandfathers, fathers, on this very special day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless us as we strive to serve you faithfully with love toward our fellow man. May we hear and embrace your word as our guiding light. Bless the fathers of the church as they serve you in fidelity to your holy word and in their love of church and their love of family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We always begin our service of worship with a call to confession so that we cleanse our hearts and minds so we may truly receive, hear the word, and embrace it and live it once we leave these hallowed walls. So join me now in our prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. God with a father's heart, You gather us as your children. We come to you in the name of Jesus, confessing we have not been faithful to your purpose. We lapse into abiding in sin, disdaining the ways of the one who came to take our sin away. We confess we sometimes act as if we do not know Christ or aspire to follow his path of loving service. Heal our brokenness, O God, and bring together the fragments of our scattered existence so we may live by our faith. We lift this prayer to you from contrite hearts in the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us now go to the Lord with our silent prayer of confession. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Know that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that by his grace, all sins are forgiven when we go to him in confession from our heart, seeking pardon. Know that you are blessed to receive this gift of grace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. And now the creed. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. We believe. Please be seated. Now it's children's time. Now that means all y'all who consider yourself a child of God, even though you may have a little gray hair, it's okay to come on down.
Tom, we missed the hymn.
Oh, we missed the hymn?
Yeah.
We did.
I tell you what, do the children's moment.
We'll do the children's time and then we'll do the hymn. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, we got sure a few more coming in. Okay. Pass that down. Oh, come on in. Welcome. We got a few more coming in. Oh, wow. Okay, good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out here today. And what a glorious day it is to be here to share this moment. Today's Bible lesson is going to be probably one y'all are familiar with is the parable of the son, where, you know, the son goes out and takes the father's money and squanders it and comes back, and the father welcomes him. And there's a little bitterness between the older brother who stays with the father. I think Tom's going to speak on this and he'll elaborate a little bit more. But when you get to the end of the chapter, it kind of leaves you hanging. So I went back and started looking back in Luke and trying to figure out, okay, what else is going on? What am I missing? So if you go back to Luke 13, it talks about repenting. You can go out and you can have commit your crime. You can do the bad stuff. And your family and your father should forgive you. That's a wonderful blessing. But that doesn't clear you of the wrong. If you go out and hit your brother or sister and say, I'm sorry, that's a quick moment. But how do you continue that? You have to show that good behavior, that you no longer are going to do that, okay? That's repenting. That's a long process. And in 13, he talks about the fig tree that does not produce. And it takes years for that fig tree to finally produce. And the farmer said, cut it down. And one of the servants said, no, let's save it for another year. Let's till that. Let's give that the need, that fig tree, the need to grow the fruit to be a better tree. And that's the lesson you'll want to teach today about repenting. It takes time. It just doesn't happen overnight. You have to fruit. You have to repent. You have to concede that you were wrong, and then be more fruitful in the past, in the future. I'm sorry. Okay, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the fruit tree that gives us the good fruit for a wholesome blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I got a few Father's Day gifts to give out. Just a second. So all the fathers, I only got two good helpers today. So all the fathers, y'all going to have to stand up and help me. So if y'all want to go ahead and start passing these out. Okay. All right, let's just start down the middle. You want to take some? You want to help, Tom? Come on. Come on, we'll go down the middle. Take a couple. And we got some up here, too. You want to take them? Fathers, raise your hand. Be proud of it. Come on. Got two over here and one more back here. Okay, here you go. You got one? Who got one over here? Right there. Who else? James got one. You got one, James? Who else? All right, anybody else? Go give your papa. Okay, that seems like it. Did anybody go upstairs? Okay. We got two. We got a couple upstairs. Well, I'll take them upstairs. You want to run up there? How many we got? Three? Yeah, run these three up there. Okay.
Good morning.
So our music is hymn number 37. And if you're able, I ask you to please rise. And then we're going to follow that with our special music.
Since it's summer, we're going to be learning a new hymn each month. So this is the hymn that we're going to do for the rest of this month. You might be familiar with the tune, but not the words. So we'll sing this the rest of June, and then in June and July we'll have a new hymn, and we'll sing it 3 weeks out of the four so we can put some new hymns in our repertoire. So...
Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God our Creator triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us by guiding us on to the end of our days. God's banners are over us, our light goes before us, a pillar of our shining in the night, till shadows and
I've had the privilege of serving six churches, and I have to tell you, the music of this church is by far memorable and is something that we should all give thanks for. Gentlemen, you do a fine job. Praising the Lord. Thank you. Before the word is read and proclaimed, let's go to the Lord with a brief prayer. O Lord, we come to you praising and worshiping you as our ever-merciful and loving Father God. We seek in humility to better discern and understand your will for us to be repentant people of genuine faith. Open our hearts and minds to strengthen our understanding and to hear and live by your holy word. Amen. So on this day of the Lord, we lift up, praise, and glorify and worship our Heavenly Father of all creation and lift up the great-grandfathers, grandfathers, and fathers of this church this morning. You know, in every generation, it seems parents have struggled with what life seems to deal with us. There are tough times in marriage. There are tough times in raising children. But it's in that bond of love between a father and a mother, parents and children, that really ties everything in life, I think, together. Today, I cannot remember a time in my almost 75 years on this earth when we have had more conflict, more division, more hatred, more anger in this country that requires all of us as Christians to take a step up and remember what God and Jesus has taught us about love, about family, about being one together, not only in church, but one also in our biological family. So today, being married and raising children seems to be a whole lot more challenging than in the years when I grew up with parents who came up during the Depression, fought World War II, lived the Christian life, and did everything they could to raise their children accordingly. So God's expectations of fathers are clearly proclaimed in His holy word. And this whole idea of biblically of being a father is very clear both in the Old Testament and in the New. And in the Old Testament, we have the example of Abraham, who is selected by God for special recognition in Hebrew, being known as the father of the people or the father of nations. And in Genesis 12 through 15, we read about Abraham and his special situation with God as an example, not only of a father with his own family, but the father of a people. And he's chosen not because he's special, but because he's faithful. He tries to live by God's law, and God richly blesses him accordingly. So King Solomon, renowned throughout the ages for his wisdom, presents us in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, an example of a wise and righteous father teaching his son godly ways. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, which means to behold Him in awe and majesty. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and as a father, the son He delights in. This is the word of the Lord. In God's eyes, then, what does it mean to be a father? A wise and righteous father is loyal and faithful to God, his family, and his friends. He trusts, honors, and serves God by giving of his time, his talent, and his resources to serve his church and to help his neighbor. He lives as a man of integrity, strength, compassion, and forgiveness, setting an example for his wife, his children, and extended family. A father loves, honors, and respects his wife, fulfilling his marriage vows made before God. His wife, the mother of his children, is his best friend and soulmate. She joins him in their journey of faith and lives these same qualities commended by God. And gentlemen, each and every one of us has been honored by God with a very special soulmate, our wife. And I say before my wife today that if it wasn't for her, I don't know how I would have turned out. She's been a blessing to me as your wife has been a blessing to you. So a wise and righteous father walks in this straight path. Now, this isn't to forget that there are times when a wife's perspective requires some forbearance for the father of her children. Years ago in the American Legion magazine, I read an article on what it would mean if fathers truly ruled the world instead of thinking they do. The author speculates, and the American family would take a different turn with dads in the driver's seat. When your wife wanted to talk to you, gentlemen, a special screen would pop out in the lower left corner of your TV as you're watching a football or baseball game. Viewing all sports channels would be free year-round and would be the only thing that would be on your TV. And telephones would automatically cut off after 30 seconds of conversation. Ladies, does that sound pretty familiar? Then there's a revealing commercial a few years ago of a man sitting in his easy chair while reading the newspaper, and his wife steps into the room with a brand new dress on and says to her husband, "Honey, does this new dress make me look fat?" You got it. Without even looking at her, he said, "You betcha." And you can imagine how the rest of that conversation went. So maybe, gentlemen, the forbearance of our better half sometimes is stretched to the limit. Thank you, ladies, for your grace. Jesus presents a powerful testimony on fathers living a godly life in the parable of the prodigal son. This scripture is often taught about the rebellious, self-absorbed young son who goes to his father asking for his inheritance. But actually, it's really not about the younger son or the older son. It's really about the father and the father's grace and love. And this father representing the love of God the Father for you and for me. And Jesus teaches us using this parable 2,000 years ago about sin, rejection, repentance, forgiveness, and love that is just as applicable today as it was so many thousands of years ago. Human nature has never changed. So we begin our gospel reading in Luke 15, verses 11 through 16, where Jesus is teaching this parable to the crowd. And Jesus says, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate,'" meaning, "I want my inheritance now." "So the father divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So the younger son goes to his father very disrespectfully and says to the father, 'I want my money now. I want my inheritance now. Give it to me now.' And the father, greatly grieved because he loved his son, decided to do what in that society was an absolute no-no: to disrespect a man's father. But the father loves his son and with great sorrow gives him all of his portion to take away with him. And the younger son lives by his own way. He lives by ways of the flesh. He squanders all of his money. And then he is degraded to the point, or as a Jew, he must seek out a non-Jew to work for him and feed and take care of his pigs. And you know the anathema it is for a Jew to be associated with swine. It's the ultimate depth of depravity. You can't sink any lower. And he reaps the bitter fruit of his greed, arrogance, disobedience, and self-absorbed foolishness. With the younger son, what we see in Luke 15, 17 through 19, a change of heart. Hear again the word of the Lord. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Jesus teaches this young man hits rock bottom, facing the darkness of his self-inflicted despair. He comes to his senses and hopes that his father still loves him enough that he might take him back. And even if he has to be a servant — the other word for servant in Hebrew is slave — even if I have to be a slave to my father, that's a better way of life than I have now. And I owe it to my father to go back and tell him how sorry that I am. He recognizes he sinned against God and his father. He will address him in Hebrew as Abba, Daddy. "If you will take me back, I will do whatever you ask of me to do. I know I've sinned. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But I please ask you to take me back. And if you do, I don't deserve to be treated as family. Treat me as one of your workers, and I will be richly blessed." Now, the real story here, though, is the father, who every day that his son is away is sitting on the porch, looking down the long trail to the home, hoping that he'll see his son. And one morning, he sees a figure approaching, and as it gets closer, he looks and sees it is his younger son. And with great joy, he leaps up, runs to his son, embraces him, kisses him on the cheek, and welcomes him back. Now, the father could have said to the son, "You foolish boy, how you disrespected me. You treated me in a way that no son should, and I will have nothing to do with you. But in his joy at seeing this younger son come back, any of that is gone, and he only feels love for this young man who rejected him and is now going to take him in to the family. He's going to take him back into the family. So what we have here is a real testimony to compassionate love, the love of a father for his son. And instead of doing what other fathers may have done, rejecting him, he embraces him with compassion, love, and true joy. He wraps his arms around his son and kisses him on the cheek. And as the son begins to seek forgiveness, the father says, "There's nothing to forgive. You have come back to me, and that's all that counts." The father says, "This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now has been found." There's only rejoicing in his heart. And this is the same love that God the Father, God and Jesus Christ has for you and me when we stray and we come back to him with true confession. Now, there is the rest of the story with the elder son. The elder son isn't quite as forgiving. So we have a little contrast here with the father. And let's hear in verses 14 and 15 what the older son has to say about the younger son. So meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother becomes angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, saying, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." The father answers, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The elder son, upon learning of this celebration, objects to his father, basically saying, "Hey, Dad, I've been the good son. I've always treated you well. I've always done my part." The younger son, your son, not acknowledging him as brother, has gone off and done everything he can to disrespect you. And yet you treat him better than you have treated me. I think I deserve better treatment than you're giving him. But the father doesn't really see it that way, does he? Neither the elder brother nor we can joyfully share in the gifts of our Heavenly Father if we demand he deal with us according to the way we think we deserve, and not worry about how God treats others, but know that God treats all who believe and love in him as his children. And this forgiving grace of this Father is the same forgiving grace that God our Father gives us when we have strayed from the path and come back with repentance. Jesus teaches we will be judged by the same measure we use to judge others. So the father's response to the eldest son mirrors God's grace and reconciliation. No matter what either son has done, they are still his beloved children. And this father's willingness to forgive is the image of God's grace and love given to us through Jesus Christ. No acts of contrition or good works are required. It is enough that when we repent, we come home. So this parable defines and presents us the agape love commended to us and lived by Jesus. It is about his sacrificial love and the same love of God the Father that we are to do our best to live up to. The lessons of this parable on agape love are also commended to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Here again, the word of the Lord about love. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the promise of Jesus Christ to us through the Apostle Paul. Though this parable is the story of God's relationship with us as our loving Father, Jesus wants us to know how God may feel when we stray from the path, but when we come back to Him in faith with prayer, He is always by our side. He will never abandon us. He will always love you and love me. What He wants us to do, though, is surrender our will to His. He expects us to love and forgive others as He forgives us. Family members, friends, and others, we are to forgive when they may not be very kind to us. But on this Father's Day Sunday, we want to remember and give our best gift to all the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers here this morning, responding to His call with love, devotion, and faith. So this morning, give your great-grandfather, grandfather, and father, and the husband of your and the father of your children, to be the best gift that they can hear. Simply say to them, "I love you." Happy Father's Day. Let us pray. Loving Father, enable us through the work of the Holy Spirit to set an example within our families and in the church by living the Christian life. I ask your blessing on the fathers and all gathered to worship you. In the name of Christ, the head of the church, we pray. Amen. We now have our pastoral prayer followed by the Lord's Prayer. And I commend to you the prayer list that we have this morning, that during the week you may every day reflect on that list and lift up prayers of the people. So let us go to the Lord with our pastoral prayer. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for all those who have been affected by severe illnesses. We pray for the individuals who are fighting this disease presently, as well as for their families. We pray for families who've lost loved ones. We pray for those in this world broken by sin. We pray for our country, praying that your Holy Spirit will allow us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope in the world. We pray for all communities torn apart by acts of unnecessary violence. Heal this world through the healing of our hearts, which begins with our repentance and continues through the daily pouring out of our lives in pursuit of assisting others. We pray for those on Cook's prayer list, including the family of Jack Parker, Sarah Yarborough, Jill Griffin, Pat Hager, Johnny Quinn and family, Nancy Smith, and others that are also grieving the loss of a loved one, and all the many people that we know who are in need of our intercessory prayer. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we have a time of reflection, not only on the sermon, but on the giving of the many gifts, on the gifts that we've received from our Heavenly Father. And as the service ends, please feel free to use the QR code in the bulletin to donate electronically, online, or place your gift in the plates in the rear of the church or here on the communion table. And thank you for supporting Cook's Church. And please remember, as the service ends, we have a prayer room. And if you have a need for prayer or you want to lift up prayer to others, that's a wonderful way to also end our Sunday together. So now, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, asking your blessing upon us as we depart this place. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. And now, please rise as we get ready to leave this hallowed church. Depart in peace, and the peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.